Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Does anybody need a Bible by any chance? If you need a Bible, just raise up your hand. We'll get one for you. No? Okay. All right. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. We started this last week and we saw where Hannah went into the temple. And as she went into the temple, she was praying because she was barren. Her husband had another wife, Peninnah, who had children. And yet Hannah didn't have any. And Peninnah kept kind of, you know, poking Hannah in the ribs, so to speak, with these things like, ha ha, I've got kids and you don't. And so every year when they would go to the temple or the tabernacle to sacrifice unto the Lord, it was even worse because Peninnah's children would get some of the meat from the sacrifice. And she would have to see this and experience this year after year. And so she went into the temple to pray. It says that she was so grieved that she couldn't even eat. And then she went into the temple, though, and she was praying. And it says in verse 11, we stopped in verse 11 last week, but I want to reread it because it says, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction, on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And so she got in and she was crying out to the Lord and asking for this male child and stating, if you bless me with him, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back. I'll return him unto the Lord. And we talked a little bit last week how previously she'd prayed for a child to give to her husband, but now she was praying for a prophet to give to the nation. And God heard that prayer. And God hears all of our prayers. It's just his ways and his timing to answer them all. So tonight we pick it up in verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says, and it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. So she continues praying this prayer. And the high priest, Eli, thought she was drunk because her mouth was moving and nothing was coming out. She was just going, making these motions with her lips. And so as he watched her pray, he thought she must have been drinking. She must be intoxicated to come here and act this way. Well, we find that the same thing happens centuries later on the day of Pentecost, the day that the disciples that were thought to be drunk because they spoke in other tongues after the Spirit came upon them. They were up in that upper room and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and it says that tongues of fire were upon them, and they started speaking in languages of everybody that was there. People from all over the known world were there, spoke in different languages, and they could understand them. So they thought they must be drunk the way that they were able to do this. But notice one thing. When Eli confronted her about this, Hannah was immediately able to explain what she was doing. And the same was with Peter. Peter was able to explain it on the day of Pentecost as well. So sometimes we can be in some places where maybe the Spirit is moving, or maybe it's just something is going on. There's people all excited, maybe jumping around and all this or that or that kind of thing going on. And you ask them, well, what are you doing? And kind of beware if they say, well, We can't really explain what's going on. We're just caught up in this, you know, euphoric experience. The Holy Spirit doesn't do things like that. As seen in both Hannah's and Peter's situation, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace, there is order, there's all kinds of that, because things, when the Holy Spirit does it, it's done decently and in order. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 14:40. Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently in order, and especially within a church service. And sometimes you can get into a service and people start to act this way or that way, and it just really, all it does is bring confusion. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Things have to be in order and decently done based on the Scriptures, based on what the Word of God says, where the Word says. The Spirit of God can do anything He wants with any of us, but it needs to be in accord with the Word of God. We can't step outside the Word and say, well, you know, I was just, several years ago, there was this thing going through the church, barking like a dog. You know, you had to bark like a dog to be Spirit-filled or something like that. And, you know, and they're just laughing, just breaking out in all kinds of uncontrolled laughter, and these different things that have gone through the church over the years. And, that, you know, they continue to prop up every once in a while. And, you know, and they present it as a new thing. Well, keep in mind, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. And there's nothing that should become about. The Spirit wouldn't do anything that's outside of the Word of God. And so we need to keep in mind that according to the Spirit of God, all things are done decently and in order. And that's a good thing to keep in mind. And a good check for you if you're ever anywhere and you kind of wonder what's happening. I've never experienced that before. And then to check and see, is it decent? Is it in order? Is it causing you confusion? If it's confusing to you, it's probably not from the Lord, because He's not the author of confusion. So we can have that as a test. And so Hannah was there praying, and Eli thought she was drunk, and she was able to explain, no, I'm a woman of broken spirit. I've not had anything to drink or no intoxicating liquor whatsoever. No wine or intoxicating drink. Now let's pick it up in verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of Him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. When she received that message from Eli, the high priest, she went and ate. Now she had an appetite. Her face was no longer sad. Once she was told that her prayer was answered, Eli said, in a sense, your prayer is answered. Go and receive this. See, and at that point, when she left there and got home to eat, there was no tangible evidence that she was going to have a child yet. There was no proof of that. But we see Hannah chose to believe the promise. She chose by faith to believe that it was going to come about. She just knew it within her spirit. Sometimes when we pray for things, we need to have that kind of belief. We need to believe God for it and just wait upon Him to bring it to pass. So tonight, if you're discouraged or depressed, the cure is not in seeing your situation change, but it's in hearing the Word of God. It comes about, you need to hear what God's Word says. And then you need to choose to believe that word. Choose to believe that He wants you to apply it to your life. Today, that's a promise for you. This is His love letter to you. He loves us so much individually that He'll speak to each of our hearts right where we're at, just with what we have. And we need to believe that. Years ago, the Lord told me the promise out of Joel 2:25. That He would restore the years that the locust has eaten. Took him almost 12 years, but he's restored the years that the locust has eaten in my life. He fulfilled that promise. And he'll fulfill the promises to you as well. And so, what has God whispered in your ear? What word has he spoken to you? Hang on to it. Hang on to it. Believe it. Don't despair. Don't allow the enemy to come along and say, oh, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. Who do you think you are to ask him for that? Those are all lies from the enemies. And we need to believe the truth. We need to believe the truth of the Word of God. Live a life of rejoicing. For when you do, you will prevent Satan from aborting what God wants to conceive in you and birth through you as you're able to rejoice in him. The song we sing tonight, Everlasting Hallelujah. Like, I pray we can start that right now, just having that attitude of praise unto him. And then we start to feel and sense his will being birthed through us. So now verse 19 says, then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah, I struggled with it last week too, Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. So Samuel means ask of God. That's what the name means. And so naming her baby boy Samuel, or ask of God, Hannah was remembering. She remembered that his delivery was in response to her prayer made 9 months earlier. She remembered that she prayed and asked of God for this child. And this child was an answer to that prayer she had asked of God. I think for us, the biggest problem in our prayer lives today is forgetting what we prayed for. What do I mean by that? Forgetting what the answer to our prayer comes, sometimes 9 days, sometimes 9 months, sometimes 9 years or 12 years later, and we receive that answer, we think, well, wonderful. But we forget it's an answer to what we prayed for previously. Sometimes God answers a prayer that we prayed long time ago, and we just receive it as a blessing. Oh, okay, that's fine. But we don't give God the glory that we actually prayed for that, and he's answering our prayers right now. See, when the answer to our prayers comes, you know, so often we forgot what we prayed for previously. See, forgetting what I prayed for previously causes me to think that God is not responding to my prayers presently, because what we prayed for before and what we're praying for now may contradict each other. You know, for example, in a moment of honesty before the Lord in times past, and occasionally I pray, Lord, there are things in me that need to be changed. Make me a man that is broken before you. I know that's a scary prayer, but it's the way I pray sometimes. Make me totally dependent on you, Lord. Lord, change me. I pray that kind of things, and I prayed it in the past. And then he begins the process to do that, to make me totally dependent upon him. So guess what happens sometime later, maybe 3 weeks or 3 months later, then all of a sudden, I find myself in some financial straits. So what do? Then I say, Lord, I need a raise desperately. But of course, it doesn't come. Why? Because God's still answering my prayer that I would be dependent upon him. He wants me to depend on him, and I prayed for him to make me that way, and now I'm asking him for more money. And so it contradicts what I prayed before. Since we don't remember what we pray for, we often end up offering, like I say, those contradictory prayers. When I look back in my journal, inevitably I hear myself saying, no wonder I'm going through this now. I prayed for it way back then. As you look back and see some of the things you prayed for. See, forgetting what we pray for is a problem that most of us have that keeps us from being men and women of prayer, because we don't think God's answering our prayers now. But he's answering what we prayed originally. And God always answers the most important need. He answers what we really need, not so much what we want or what we think we need. See, but that was not the case with Hannah. Hannah named her baby Samuel, Ask of God, because she knew that this baby was an answer to her prayer that she prayed there in the tabernacle. So now look at verse 21. It says, Now the man Elkanah and all of his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. She was remembering her vow. And verse 23, So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. So the first year, she didn't go. She stayed home. She goes, No, I'm not going to go to Shiloh until Samuel is weaned. Once he was weaned, then she went with him. And that Samuel is believed to be probably, at this point, 3 years old at that point. And I like what Hannah packed up with her as she went. What she took with him to the tabernacle. Because it says the three bulls. And so meat is kind of representing the strong meat of the word that it talks about in Hebrews 5, where it says, you should be, eating the strong meat right now, but you still need the milk of the word. It was written in Hebrews. And so she took the word, in a sense, the strong meat of the word. And then the flour and the wine, of course, speak of bread and wine, of communion. Of the Lord's Supper, of that time where we come together and remember what he's done for us. And so it's always interesting to me to see these things in the Old Testament that we can show apply in the New Testament. The things in the Old Testament that can apply to our lives today. We need the Word of God. We need to have the strong meat of the Word. Not just pure milk, not just all the fluff. Not the things that tickle our ears. We need the strong meat of the word to be able to get down deep into it and allow it to grow in us. And we need to remember the importance of communion, importance of what Jesus did for us on the cross. When we partake of the communion, this Sunday will be Communion Sunday, and we'll have communion together to that time, that special, special time to reflect on what Jesus did for us, that time to search and examine our own hearts and see if there is anything in us that we need to acknowledge to the Lord, to confess about to him and to be able to partake of that communion together, that bread and that wine. So she took the meat, the bread, and the wine up with her as she went to take Samuel to the tabernacle. Now look at verse 25. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. So Hannah said, Remember me? You thought I was loaded, you thought I was drunk, but I was here praying for this child. I was the lady praying for this child. And here he is. Here he is right before our eyes. Miracle of miracles. See, there's been a number of times over the years where I prayed for couples that have been struggling to have babies. They couldn't be able to seem to conceive. And they've came and they've asked for prayer. And there's been a number of times where when we pray together and believe God for a miracle, before long they became pregnant. And what a blessing it is to be able to have them come and to be able to dedicate that baby unto the Lord. What a miracle that is. It shows you how great God is, how powerful he is, and how little we are, you know, because he can use us to be able to be a part of something miraculous like that. What a blessing. And so here Hannah was before Eli saying the same thing. Here's the baby that I prayed for here. You were a part of it. Then verse 28 starts out. And she says, therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. The Hebrew word translated lent there literally means returned. She's returned him to the Lord. She's given him back to the Lord in that respect. Because Hannah vowed that she would give her child to the Lord. And now she honors her vow. We need to honor our vows. It's important. If you make a vow, the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not to keep it. We need to keep our vows. It's important before the Father. And he expects us to do that. And as believers, it's even more important, especially if you're dealing with an unsaved person or a situation like that. Because if you make a vow to them and they know you're a Christian and you break it, it just slanders the name of the Lord. We're his representative. We're his ambassadors. We need to keep that in mind and let our yes be yes and our no be no, as the Bible says. Then verse 28 goes on. It says, so they worshiped the Lord there. They worshiped the Lord there. See, in the presentation of little Samuel to the Lord, what we do here, we're seeing the model for what we do today in what's called baby dedication. But it's like when I read that this afternoon again, as I was going over this, they worshiped the Lord there. And I think about that, and it's not just worship like with the guitars and everything and the singing and dancing, but it's reverencing the Lord. It's giving him reverence. It's giving him homage. It's acknowledging how great he is from your heart of hearts, from your soul of souls, just to, Lord, thank you so much. Just basking in his love and his grace and mercy to worship in that way. So we see this model of baby dedication, and although it's not commanded specifically in the Word of God, we see Jesus himself was actually brought to the temple to be dedicated. Mary and Joseph took him and dedicated him to the Lord. So does a parent have to do this once their baby's born? No, of course not. There's not really a command. But God will take any territory we give him. If we dedicate it to him, as you present your child, if you present your house that maybe you're building, or a relationship you're in to the Lord, if you dedicate that to him, he will surely use it for his glory. And if that be the case, you're going to be doubly blessed to be able just to glorify God. Know that if you dedicate something to him, he's going to be glorified in it. So if you dedicate your children to the Lord, it's a good start for them. It's not a scriptural mandate, but it sure is a blessing to be able to know, you know what, we've returning him. We're returning them to the Lord. It's not ours. It's his. It's all his anyway. We're his slaves, remember? And a slave doesn't own anything. It's all his. It all belongs to him. So that's chapter 1. Let's begin now chapter 2. Let's get into chapter 2. And in chapter 1, we heard this prayer of a barren woman. Here in chapter 2, we're going to hear the praise of a blessed woman, of a woman that's truly blessed. We heard her prayer in chapter 1. Here we're going to hear her praise and her prayer of praise. So chapter 2, verse 1 starts out and it says, And Hannah prayed. She was a prayer warrior. She was praying. Hannah's prayer here that we're going to read through in chapter 2 is interesting because it's remarkably similar to that of Mary's in Luke chapter 1. The prayer Mary offered after learning she would bear a son who would be the Messiah. So this means Mary was probably familiar with the prayer of Hannah. Excuse me, because it was recorded. And Mary possibly being a student of the word as a young Jewish lady, she would have probably been familiar with the prayer of Hannah, even as a teenage girl. She would have probably heard it in the synagogue, and evidently she absorbed and embraced it, treasured and maybe even memorized it at that point. Because the language of Hannah's prayer is heavenly. It's heavenly, just like Mary's was in Luke chapter 1. But we don't, as we read through it, we don't want to miss one kind of side note on it. We don't want to miss the earthly accent in the not-so-subtle references to her rival, Peninnah, which we'll see in this prayer. See, sometimes our prayers are so lofty that they hide our true emotions. We don't want the Lord to know that, as if he doesn't already know what our emotions are. See, to those kind of prayers, I believe the Lord would say to us, tell me what you're really feeling. I can handle it. After all, I already know all about it. It says in Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. There's nothing hidden. So when you're angry, guess what? The Lord knows you're angry. And yet, oh, I don't want to tell the Lord I'm angry. We go to prayer and all of a sudden we turn into King James scholars praying these fancy King James prayers that really don't mean anything from our heart of hearts. No, God knows our emotions. There's nothing hidden from him. And to each of us, he says there that we will give an account. We must give an account. So let him know what is in your heart. Let him know that. Then look at verse 1. It continues. It says, and Hannah prayed, and it goes on, and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies. I smile. So Hannah, now she's praying, you know, my horn is exalted. She was lifted up. She was blessed. I'm lifted up. I'm above my circumstances now. See, and that's what praise does for us. When we start to praise the Lord, it puts us above our circumstances. When we're just under our circumstances, under the weight of them, we're not able to really give him thanks and praise. But once we start to, then we start to sense that, okay, they're under his feet, they're under our feet as well. She says, my mouth is smiling. Her mouth was smiling, for now I have something to say. I don't have to bite my tongue any longer. See, while Peninnah was jabbing her with all these things, and you don't have children, and just putting her down because she was still barren, she had to kind of bite her tongue at that point. She didn't have anything to smile about. She was very down and depressed. She had to kind of take it. But now she's like, okay, I've got a son now. I've got a son that I've given to the Lord, and I'm rejoicing in that. And so we see this little thing here. Now it goes on in verse 1. She says, because I rejoice in your salvation. Sometimes we need to be able to remember our salvation more and more. Sometimes when we're going through afflictions and going through the valley, sometimes we get so focused on that we forget we're saved, that we have eternity in glory with the Father. And whatever we're going through now, he can work out for us. But she says, I rejoice in your salvation. Verse 2, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Verse 3, talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. So Hannah prays here, let no arrogance come from your mouth. See, here we're hearing her kind of earthly accent in the prayer. We hear her here because of who Hannah is referring to. She's talking about Peninnah. She's saying, you know, you're not going to be so proud now. Where is your arrogance? Let no arrogance come from your mouth any longer. The Lord has closed your mouth. And see, the Lord will close the mouth of our enemies too, if we let it, turn it over to Him, if we don't try to handle it ourselves. In Romans that we're doing on Sunday, I've been preparing for Sunday and talking about the vengeance is His, not ours. You know, it's His. You know, let no arrogance come from your mouth. So she's referring to Penaniah. Then look at verse 5. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. So Hannah had borne 1 child at this point, and we'll see later as we move on, she'll have 5 more. She'll have 5 more children. And so God blesses above and beyond all that we could ask or think. She was only asking for 1, and she ended up with 6, many more. Jesus said, I came to give life and that more abundantly. And that's what we have for today. We can have that abundant spiritual life. He wasn't talking about material things. I think he was talking about we can have that abundance of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit, which bottom line is just love. God's love in our life and our love for one another is to be able to be there. And verse 6 goes on. She says, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. So she's saying basically, the Lord makes things right. He brings things about in an equitable way. He's not a respecter of person. He doesn't respect one over another. Now look at verse 8. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. So the Lord is in control. The Lord is in control. We need to remember that. We need to keep that in mind no matter what's going on. The Lord is in control. He's the one who holds everything together. He's the one who works everything out for our good, according to Romans 8:28. He's the one that does that. We need to know He's in control. No matter how out of control our circumstance seems, no matter how crazy our lives are at the moment, no matter how evil the world is starting to get, the Lord is still in control. And He's going to work everything out. He holds it all together. He will work it all out. And look at the beginning of verse 9. Verse 9 starts out, he says, He will guard the feet of His saints. He will guard the feet of His saints. That's us. When you're born again, you are a saint in God's eyes. There's only 2 kinds of people. You're either a saint or you ain't. When you're born again, you become a saint. See, it says here, the Lord will walk with His saints. The Lord will walk with His saints. He'll see them through. He'll keep their steps from slipping. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, does it? Sometimes it feels like, man, I'm slipping and sliding here. But what we have to do is look back to the Lord. We have to call out to Him. Just as Jesus, when He was, as Peter was walking on the water, he was doing just fine until he looked at the waves. And he started to sink and he had to cry out, Lord, help. And the Lord pulled him right back out. See, we can be steady. We can know if God's in control. He'll keep our feet from slipping. Psalm 119 talks about studying the Word, knowing the Word, and you will not stumble. In that way, those are promises that we can hang on to. Then verse 9 goes on, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. So now here's the end of Hannah's prayer. She comes to the end of her prayer, and it's a lofty praise and exaltation that she's giving. But she's also, through this prayer, like I say, revealed her humanness of the soul, her soul as well. She revealed, she talked about the arrogance of Penaniah, of the closing of her mouth. And this prayer encourages me so much. The fact that God includes it in His Word gives me great freedom to be honest and open before Him. Don't hesitate ever to let the Lord know your deepest feelings and emotions. He created your emotions for a purpose and a reason. He understands your emotions. I talked about, not wanting the Lord to know we're angry. And yet when you read through the Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you wait? I'm sure the psalmist wasn't saying, how long, O Lord? No, there was emotion in that cry. There was anger in that cry. How long, O Lord, are you going to wait? God understands our anger. He understands our pain, our emotional pain. And see, the problem as believers, a lot of times we think we shouldn't have that emotional pain. So we hold it in. We just keep it to ourselves. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, not that your emotions are sin, but God needs to know about them. He knows them, but He wants us to tell Him about it. He wants us to acknowledge those things to Him so He can deal with them. When you have a physical pain in your body, it's like a red flag that you need to go to the doctor. If your heart's hurting so bad you can't breathe, it feels like a belt's being tied around it, you best go to the doctor. Or you're going to see the Lord a lot sooner than maybe He wanted you to. Well, the emotional pain is the same way. Emotional pain is there to be a warning, saying, hey, something's not right. Something's not right. Tell Jesus about it. Take that to the Lord. Just like you take your physical pain to the physical doctor, take those emotional pains to Jesus. He understands them. He's the only one that does. You can tell somebody else, oh, yeah, I'm feeling this way, and they go, oh, I understand. No, they don't. They maybe have been through something similar, but they're not you. You're going through that. The only one that understands is Jesus. And He wants to meet you right where you're at. He wants to deal with that emotional pain. He wants to set you free from it. Well, you've got to tell Him about it. So Hannah's prayer is encouraging. Just the humanness of her prayer. And talking and showing about the arrogance of Penaniah. It's a freedom for us to be able to let God know what's really going on in our hearts. He cares. He understands. Let's go to verse 11. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. So just as she promised, Hannah brought Samuel to the temple and left him there to be trained for ministry. To be trained there. As a young boy, he will be trained up in ministry, and he'll minister to the Lord personally, even at a young age. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Samuel was there to be trained to be a prophet. He was there trained to be that person that would usher in the kings of Israel, as we'll read. So she prayed for him and she said, promised him to the Lord, I will give him back. I will return him to you. And she kept her vow. And as we go through Samuel, boy, we'll see the mighty way that God used Samuel as he was trained up in the way that he should go. He was there trained up. So as we look at Hannah's prayers, the one in chapter 1 where she was grieving and sorrowful of soul, and then to see chapter 2 where God answered that prayer and she's blessed and she's given God all the glory for it. She's lifting up His name and honoring Him and reverencing and worshiping Him. We can do the same thing. If you have some prayers, unanswered prayer, maybe He's still working on it. It's just not His time. It's not best for you yet. Just have to believe that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the story of Hannah and Samuel. I thank you that as we see the way that you answered her prayer, it wasn't immediately. It was 9 months. Some of our prayers are taking longer. I pray for all of us in this room tonight. I lift up this time right now to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, move through this room. And as we've talked about different aspects of prayer in the sense of waiting upon the Lord for his answer and being able to turn over our emotions to you, Father, if anybody here tonight is, if you've just been holding those emotions in, if you've just been denying that you've had anger, if you've been denying you've had unforgiveness, if you've been denying you've had envy or bitterness, the Bible says to take those things off, to take them off and put on the new man, put on the new love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So if you're here tonight and you just want to take those things off, I pray right now, just turn them over to the Lord. Just acknowledge them to Jesus right now. If you're having that emotional pain, if you're struggling with something emotionally, give it to Jesus. Let him take it. Let him start to set you free from the burden of it. The Bible says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no rest when you're struggling with unconfessed things to him. So just right now in your heart of hearts, just confess them to the Lord. Just lift them up to him and let him set you free. It's the truth is he wants to set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free right now. So experience that freedom in him. Experience that joy and that worship that Hannah experienced with that answered prayer. So answer our prayers according to your will and in your time tonight, Lord. Be with us all now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you all. Have a good rest of the week.